Okay, now let's go to Hebrews chapter 2, and let's back up there to verse 1, and let's take a look at that this morning and talk about a thing here that's real important. Hebrews chapter 2, it says there, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Well, that's important. Right, let's just pray and then we'll talk about this for a few minutes. Father, we thank you for the word of God and thank you for the service this far. And pray you'd bless the word now. Help us, Lord, to listen. I pray the devil wouldn't interfere or hinder the service this morning. Pray your word would have free course in our hearts and we'd be reminded of this thing that we need reminding of. Help us, Lord, pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, to heed, take heed. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed, to mind, to regard with care, to take notice of, to attend to observe. Well, do you have things that you value? Possessions? Yeah, you do. You guard them. They're probably locked up at home now if you've left them there. You don't want to lose them. You don't want people to take them away from you. You don't want something to happen to them so that you don't have them anymore. We're that way with loved ones. We watch after them, don't we? We don't want anything to happen to these little ones around here, especially. They can't take care of themselves. Some, you know, we're aware of the evil around us, and so we watch closely and guard them closely. But he's talking here about the things which we have heard. How closely do you guard the things that you've heard from God? Now, let me tell you something. The most valuable thing that I have in my life, in my soul, are the things that God has given me. Truth. Truth. Things that I've learned along the way. People have helped me. Other people have helped me by telling me things, correcting me, reproving me, rebuking me, all kinds of things like that. People have taught me things, but the things that I've gotten from God mean more to me than all the rest of everything. I wouldn't trade them for anything. We talk about a lot of times if we could just go back and start over. No way. If it cost what I have, I wouldn't go back for nothing. No matter what else might turn out, no matter how many things we might have avoided, if I had to give up what I got, I ain't going back. I ain't giving it up. It's too important. It means too much to me. Do you have that? Do you have that kind of treasure?
Yes, sir.
I mean, the things that you've heard, has God ever spoken to you? Has God ever showed you things? Has God ever revealed things to you? Just truth. I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I'm talking about just truth. Understanding. Wisdom, knowledge, things that you've just learned. I mean, there's things you can learn. Gary talked about knowledge in Sunday school a little bit, and the generation how to seek knowledge, and where to seek knowledge and all of that. But there's a kind of knowledge that's just knowledge. You just know stuff. Well, you can know, you can have the kind of knowledge that's worthless. I mean, what is it going to mean in eternity how much you know about the things of this world? You know, technology and any of the mechanics of this world. I mean, it's kind of handy in this world, but what's it really worth in the long run? You know, I'm thankful for everything that I know. I know there's much more that I don't know than I do know. I know that about everything, every subject in life. And you ought to be wise enough to admit that about yourself and really believe it and realize it, that that's the way it is. I don't know much. But what I do know, man, I know what came from God. I'm going to watch it close.
Yes, sir.
I ain't going to let nobody come along and snatch it away from me. I ain't going to let no seducer, Gary, come along and convince me that it's not right. The things which we've heard. Well, who spoke these things? Well, that's what we've been talking about ever since we got in Hebrews here. Who spoke to us now? Well, Jesus did. The words spoken by angels, it says, were steadfast. Well, angels were sent from God in the Old Testament to bring messages. And even in the beginning of the New Testament, they came and delivered messages to Joseph and Mary Zachariah and Elizabeth. There you go. Got it. But angels were sent in times past. That's what we've been studying in Hebrews so far. In times past, that's the way God spoke. He spoke through angels. He spoke through prophets. He spoke through a donkey one time. He's spoken through a lot of different means. But now, in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. Now, the angels' messages were always right. Never an angel from God that lied to anybody. Everything that they said came to pass. Everything they said was right and true. They were faithful messengers, and everything they said came to pass. However, the words spoken by Jesus are much more important, and none of them are confined to a certain event or thing. When God sent an angel, it was concerning a certain thing, a certain event, just something that was fixing to happen there. And then it was confined to a message for a certain time. What Jesus said, none of that is nothing like that. Think about that. What Jesus has said it covers everything. I wrote it down here. They're applicable to our whole life and for all people, for all time. What Jesus said. He didn't just tell us specific little things to watch. You know, this is going to happen here. And that's what they wanted him to do. They just tell us, give us some signs. Tell us exactly what's going to happen. When this is going to happen. When that's going to happen. He never would he? No, what Jesus spoke were words of life. And they covered everything. So we ought to take more earnest heed, the more earnest heed to the things we've heard from Jesus. It's an offense to him for us to desire or demand or even to heed some supernatural manifestation particular to ourselves to confirm something he's already told us. Y'all get what I'm saying to you? It's offensive to him for us to require that him do something else to prove to us what he said is true than that he just said it.
That's right.
For example, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, why do we have to have proof that he's with us? People hold up Gideon in the Old Testament and say, well, Gideon did it. That's Old Testament. That's a different deal. Now, this is a whole new thing. This is a new dispensation. God doesn't speak through angels now. God doesn't speak through signs and things like that. Not now. He has spoken to us by his Son. And we ought to, therefore we ought to take the more earnest heed to the things that he said. Neither should we be continually looking for evidence of his second coming in the current events of the world. See, it's the same thing. He said in Matthew 24:44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So we shouldn't be just looking around for signs that he is coming. Because look, it's happening like he said. He said he's coming. That's all we need to know. And that's all we need to believe. What he said is true. That's all we need to have to believe that what he said is true. That he said, if I go, I will come again. And he said, do this till I come. He said it over and over. He promised. He's coming. It's an offense to him when we say, well, isn't it an offense to you when you tell somebody something and they just doubt your word and they just keep asking for more evidence and for more, but you say it again and tell me again and show me some proof and give me some evidence and give me some something that I can see and touch that I'll know that what you're telling me is true. It's kind of offensive, ain't it? You ought to believe. So we ought to cherish and prize highly anything that we discover, if you want to say that word. That means uncover. If it's uncovered to us, it's discovered, it's uncovered for us. Anything that we have like that, did you ever find out anything about God you didn't know before? I mean, just truths, understanding, it happens all the time. To me, the farther I go, the more it happens. The more I see and understand. And you ought to prize that highly. And not forget it. Not let it slip. Because there's a lot of, and we're going to talk about it, there's a lot of things and forces that want to, that are set to take it away from you. Snatch it away from you. Just slip it out of your mind. Cause you to forget. Just long enough to get yourself in a terrible mess. We ought to willfully and purposely rehearse these things in our minds and guard them lest they slip away from us and we forget. Things that He shows us. Direction. About direction for our life. You know, I see a lot of people and they're just so confused. They don't know what to do. They're always seeking for the will of God in their life. Like, right. It's a great mystery and they never find. I've been talking to her a little bit about people that I'm watching as they get older and I've seen this through the years, but they get stuck in a whirlpool somewhere of uncertainty and wondering about. They have these questions. Why is it like this? And why do people do this? And why did that happen? And why did this happen? And then they get old and they're just stuck in that merry-go-round in their mind and they just can't. You know, there are things that you can get answers for. And a lot more than you think. You can get answers. You better get answers. You better not live in doubts and wonders and always be perplexed by something.
Right.
That people do. People believe. How can they believe that? Sin makes people crazy. And I pray that I don't get stuck in a merry-go-round like that where I just end up that that's all I talk about. I know some people that are old. And when you talk to them, you're going to hear the same. It's just like a script that they follow every time they talk to you. They can't talk about nothing else. They just go around that same circle of everything that's happened in their life that they don't understand and why did it happen that way and maybe I should have done this and maybe I should have done that. Yeah. I know a few like that. Stuck on questions of doctrine and everything else. Why don't you just focus on what God has told you?
Yeah.
What you have heard. There's more truth that I have heard for me to think on than I got time to think on. It's just like praying for people that I told you about the other day. If you just wake up in the morning and just first thing, just start thinking of people that need. People that need help today from God. And just start thinking. It overwhelms you. There's no end. It's the same way with the truth that you know. The things God has given you. Count your blessings. Count the things that God has showed you. That's revealed to you through the years. Go back to when you were young and or a kid and just try to remember how blank you were. And ignorant of everything and misinformed and mixed up. And if you've got some stability and you got some real faith now and understanding this, You better lock it down. You better latch on to it. And you better watch for anything that would try to take it away from you. That's what He's telling us here. The words we've heard of Him, they have such a tendency to slip from us. Why in the world? Well, they slip from the first place in our thinking. Jesus talked to the church in Revelation about leaving their first love. And that's what happens. They just slip from the first place in your thinking. You know, this may be a crude illustration, but if somebody sends me an email or a message, and if I don't deal with it, then you know what happens? It goes right down the list. And there's dozens of other messages by tomorrow that are on top of it, and you know what happens?
Yep.
It just slips by me. I forget. Because there's too much else on top of it. That's what happens to the things of God that He's given you, the treasures that He has uncovered for you. The help and instructions and righteousness and the direction that He's given you clearly in your mind for your life, you lose track. Because of all the other voices and all the other noise and all the other things going on. They slip from our thinking, first place in our thinking. You've got to keep them there on purpose. I mean, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, if whatsoever is true, whatsoever is holy, those things. Think on those things. Think on them on purpose. You got to do that. They slip from the first place in our priorities. We just don't give them priority. We get on some other hobby horse or something.
Right.
We get carried away and occupied with some other interest. And the first thing you know, you've forgotten. You ever have trouble explaining? You ever have trouble when you see something clearly that's an issue with people and you see it clearly in the Bible? Or even a passage of Scripture. Like we were reading yesterday in Luke about the unjust judge and the importunity of the widow who went to this unjust judge. And, you know, I've read that different times, thought it out, studied it out, and figured it out. But I can come back to that after not thinking on it for months, and I've lost the thought I had about it. It was all laid out in my mind, just how that was and what he was saying. And then it's all mixed up again. If I don't return to it and, you know, go back to it again often. That's why y'all read your Bible. That's why you read your Bible through. That's why you ought to read it, study often. Don't get stuck in one place or another place. Be all over it and read it and know it and refresh it often in your mind.
Yes.
The things that I do that a lot. I have to go back to something that I saw it one time. And then somebody asked me a question about it. And then I'm thinking, oh, you know what? I know I understand that. And I know I understood it one time and had it where I could say what it meant. And I had to go back and study it again.
Yes.
They slip from the first place in our love. When God reveals something to you, your heart's excited about it. You have emotion about it because it excites a love in your heart for God. That's what it does. And they slip away from us because that affection gets placed somewhere else. A lot of people go from one thing to the next in the Bible. Subjects, doctrines, issues. They'll be on this a while. Then they'll be on this a while. Next thing you know, they'll be somewhere else a while. And they're never in the same place. They never have just stability. We were talking the other day about that too. You know, that is just so important. A person who doesn't change. You go through and you look at all this social media and stuff, and you have so much contact with people. And I'd show her every once in a while. I'd say, well, look at here. Reinvented again.
Yes.
New face, new hairdo, new hobby, new interest. There's people that are like that. They're just always, you never know what's going on. And then Brother Kenny's picture rolled up there of their anniversary the other day. I said, now see there. Same.
Yeah. Yep. Right. No change.
And that just helps you so much.
Yes. Yes.
Just to know that there are other people that just don't change.
Right.
I mean, they are what they are. We call them real people.
Yep.
You just know they're going to be the same.
Yes.
They ain't going nowhere. They ain't changing. They ain't trying. They're not searching for who they are. And what's right, and what's true, and what's important. They found it a long time ago, and they kept it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And didn't let it slip. You need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why do his words, why are they so easily slipped away from us? Well, it's because they're his words. There are strong forces at work to bring about that result, to snatch him away from us. The cares of life and the overwhelming inflow of information, especially in our generation, easily overshadows and chokes out the word and the things that we hear from God. There's preachers that have done it. I wonder how much I could do it. Preach on the same thing often. I mean, preach the same message often, and anybody would notice. You know, if I ask you what to preach on last Sunday morning, I wonder how long would you have to think and look through your Bible and find something, come up with what it was. See? The cares of life just take it away from you. The seed by the wayside. That's what happens in most churches on Sunday morning. The seed is sown, and by the time you get to the car, it's gone. Because the birds of the air came by and got this seed by the wayside. Cares of life and all the rest of it. He has great liberty in our generation to operate through all the ways in which we receive information from the world around us. He's the prince and power of the air, the very air you breathe. He's got great liberty. Every avenue that you get information, except here and right here, mm-hmm. He has his hands upon it. He has control of it. Yeah. Do you just realize that? And yet we tune in, we log on, we, yeah, boy. And that's where we get it. That's where we get most of our information and input. And so most of the influence on our life is not coming from God. It's coming from the devil. And this world, which he's in control of. So he has great liberty to take away from us what God has given us. He has great access to the minds and hearts of all of us. It's alarming. It ought to alarm you at how open you are to him and to the evil. I'll bet you don't go to bed at night without locking your doors and putting a gun by the bed. Everybody does now. Why do you do that? Well, because you're aware of the danger that's around us. This crazy world and the dope crazed minds and demon possessed people that are running everywhere doing everything, and you see it often all the time, and you know that's what's going on. So you guard yourself. Yes. You ought to guard your mind.
Right.
You ought to guard these things that God has given you, because they're your most valuable treasures. See, these are the things that we take with us into eternity. I came in this world naked, and naked I'll go out of this world. I mean, I brought nothing in, I'll take nothing out of this world. Material things, but truth and understanding and wisdom and knowledge I will take out with me. So they're more valuable than earthly treasures. If somebody stole everything I have, it wouldn't matter near as much as losing one of the treasures that God's given me in my understanding, in my heart, in my life. No sinner has to take earnest heed to not let his sinful mind and the things of his sin slip away from him, does he? Don't work that other way, does it? No lover of this world has to take earnest heed not to let his love for the world slip. They don't have to try. They don't have to strive. They don't have to take heed to nothing. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are not yet no gods? Did that ever happen? Did any idolatrous pagan nation ever say, these gods ain't no good, they're just junk, make believe, let's worship the true God? Does that ever happen? No. But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. It happens the other way. It's a seducer, Gary. Seducing spirits is what does that. They convince people to give in to a desire. That's why you're seeing all these people that have been in Bible-believing churches start wearing their worldly, immodest clothes and go to contemporary, ungodly, wicked music. Yeah. They have been seduced. The seducing spirits have convinced them to just give in. That's the way to go. I mean, it feels good anyway. And everybody will like you that way. And it's just better that way. It's time for change. So. Death is the principle. I mean, what a testimony against men that they would be so loyal to vanity and so unfaithful to God. God's going to judge. What a testimony against men that they're so easily drawn away from God and so difficult. I mean, it's a miracle to get them prime away from the world to God. Death is the principle that's at work in God's creation since sin entered in. Death is the principle that is at work. That's what you see everywhere. The tendency is toward death in this corrupted world. Everything's dying and everything's decomposing. Everything's coming apart. I mean, everything. How do they do carbon 14 dating? Well, that's because of the decaying process. The undoing. That's what's going on. Fires go out. Life comes to an end. Water dries up. I mean, that's just the way things work. To maintain anything that is opposite of death takes much attention and effort. There has to be vitality there. Life to oppose death, or death immediately wins. You're dying where you're sitting. And the only thing that's keeping you alive is that life that's in you, that vitality. And when that is gone, your body will immediately be taken apart by the things that you require. It requires to be alive right now. The same oxygen you must have to live is going to be what takes you apart. Oxidation is the decay and taking apart. Fire is oxidation. I mean, in rapid fire, yes, accelerated. Rust is oxidation. It's oxygen, the life-giving oxygen that we must have. They look for on all the other planets for oxygen because that's what you got to have to live. They think that we're God. They think that there's no other kind of life that couldn't be like us. Good heavens. How could you imagine such a thing? With their wild imaginations, and they can't imagine anything else. Death's the principle. There has to be vitality there. Life opposes death. And we're talking about why you get things taken away from you, why you lose what you've gained. John 6, verse 63. Jesus said, and I believe I read this the other night, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So it's the Spirit that gives life. Therefore, we have to live and exist and get our strength and direction in the spiritual realm. If we live after the flesh, we'll die. We've been talking about that on Wednesday night and that spiritual stuff and all of that. But so how are you going to keep on? How are you going to hold on to these things? How are you going to not let them slip? Well, there better be some life about you. You can't just coast. Life is a struggle. You got to fight the good fight of faith. That's how you do it. You can't just lay back and ride to heaven on a flyer bed of ease. This ain't a cruise to heaven, man. It's a battle, a struggle against all the forces that want to take away from us what we have gained. Through our carelessness and inattention, the devil will steal his words from our heart if we don't guard it. Guard your heart, the Bible says. With all diligence, keep thine heart with all diligence. Luke 8, verse 11 and 12, parable of the sower. Jesus said, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Temptation, trials, persecution will cause his words to slip from us. Matthew 13, again the parable of the sower in the Gospel of Matthew, verse 20 and 21. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution, hear that, tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended, and what happened? It's gone. The seed is gone before it can do anything. Slip means sneak. It means to slink, to depart, or withdraw secretly. It means to glide. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. What do they do? What does it look like they're doing when they're going along? Looks like they're sliding. Mm-hmm. They're sneaky. Subtle is that's what it means. It means they're easily to fool you. To pass unexpectedly or imperceptibly. To escape insensibly and be lost. I mean, you don't even know what happens. You don't even know when that treasure you had was taken away when you lost it. I don't know how I could get you to understand this better, but I'll tell you right now, I could give you a long list of people's names that I've sat in church with, that I've sat in my house with, that I've preached on the street with, that I've went to jail services with. Anything you want to name, I can name you people that I've went with, that I used to be able to sit down and talk about the Bible with, have spiritual conversations with, have talks with about righteousness and truth and moral right and wrong, and they could talk sensibly and had knowledge of it. They could quote scriptures. And now they have totally lost it all. They can't quote you scripture. They can't have a spiritual conversation. They don't know it anymore. They've lost it. They've let it slip.
Yes.
It slipped. And it's gone. From their mind. From their life. From their soul. See, Baptists got this deal of security of the believer where they have put in the minds of people that when you pray that little prayer, you're good forever. And you're just safe. Everything you got, safe. I mean, don't worry about a thing. You're going to heaven. What else you got to worry about? When the Bible's full of warnings like this.
Yes.
If you don't think you can lose out, you're on the wrong way of thinking.
I believe that.
Mm-hmm. And everybody can just take that however they want to that's listening, you know, beside y'all. Mm-hmm. I believe in security of the believer, but I just believe you got to be a believer.
Yes.
I believe you got to be real. I believe you got to be born again. I believe you got to be born of the Spirit. And I believe you will persevere when you're born of the Spirit and all of that. But you better take heed,
yes,
lest at any time you let these things slip.
Yes.
When someone slips away, they leave without being noticed. That's how people get out of church. Usually, it's not just, I'm quitting, bye, and slam the doors. That ain't not how it happens. They just start slipping out. They're not there. A service or two. And pretty soon, if it's a midweek service, they're not there then. Then, and they just quit coming on Wednesday nights. Some people I know, they just will not go. They won't even consider it. It's just out. We don't go to church on Wednesday night. Used to. Why do you not go? Don't need it? No, they have something slipped. Mm-hmm. Then they'll quit on Sunday night.
Yep.
It happens the same way every time.
Yes.
And then pretty soon, they're completely gone.
Yep.
Completely gone.
Yep.
That's how it happens. You slip slowly away. Many who think they're still guarding his words have slipped into error. A lot of people are like that. To slip means also to err, to fall into error or fault. And so a lot of people still think they're guarding his words, but they've slipped into error. You all know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
People have given up truth in the day we live in. I know the generation that came before us here that I was part of had a lot of problems, had a lot of things mixed up, sure. But I'll tell you what, I believe there were more people that loved the truth than there are now.
Yes, sir.
They did. They may not have had much of it, but what they did have, they believed it.
Yes, sir.
Now everything is fluid, like you talked about, Gary. Fluid. It's always a changing, subject to change. It all just depends. You know, and the more you learn, the more spiritual you get, because you learn more. Well, that's not always the truth.
No.
In much knowledge is, he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. And gets a lot of trouble to himself. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. That's the parable of the sower. The only one that was really saved is the one that had an honest heart, a good and honest heart, and they heard the word, and they kept the word, and they brought forth fruit with patience. That means it took a long time. They stuck with it. That parable we were talking about the unjust judge. You know, I'll tell you what that means. It does, every preacher I've ever heard puts the emphasis on importunity.
Yep.
That you just got to keep praying and just don't give up praying and just pray till something happens and pray till God gives up and gives you what you want. That's not the subject of that issue at all that Jesus was teaching.
No.
An unjust judge compared to God, would Jesus do that? No, that's not it at all. The last thing Jesus said was, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. That was the last sentence in that story. And he told in there about, you know, if you know to give good gifts to your children, being evil, you know to give good gifts to your children. I mean, if you ask of God, you know, if your son asks of you a bread, would you give him a stone? No, and he said in that parable there that he said, it ain't a parable, but it's a story he's telling. He said that the whole subject's faith, trust in God. That's what it's about. It's not about importunity. It's about faith. That widow just wouldn't give up. He didn't care. That unjust judge didn't care about her, didn't care about anybody's problems. He didn't fear God or man, didn't care about nothing. He wasn't going to help her. But she just kept on until she got some help. And we don't pry it out of God's hand, but we believe with patience.
Yes.
And trust Him. Yeah. And wait. And God will answer.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus even said He'll speedily answer.
That's right. Sure did.
Anyway, I just threw that in for extra. The good ground is the one that keeps it and brings forth fruit with patience. So we got to strive to hold on to what we have, like we guard everything else that is precious to us. Church, you better be thankful you got a church to come to.
Yes, sir.
And a church where you can hear something instead of just playing games. Because it don't last, I'm telling you. I preached to you and preached to you. When the last Sunday over here, I preached to you about how that it's a church, a local church, is just a temporary thing. They all are born, they live, and they die. Be thankful. They rise up and they have a time of vitality, and like your youth, when you're strong and like the strength of your youth, and then they start fading out. And then the last, they end up, before they completely close the doors, they end up trying to be what they were in their heyday. Trying to recapture their youth, just like the foolish people of this world try to recapture their youth by painting and fixing and doing all these things to give the appearance that we're like we used to be, when we're really not. A church needs to grow and mature and everything, just like anything else alive does. And you ought to be thankful for your church. Amen. Strive to hold on to it. Not let it slip, because it can very easily. I've seen a bunch of them. I've been in several churches that were good churches, and they are dead as a doorknob now. Gone. Ain't no. Some of them, there ain't even no church there.
Yeah, that's right.
And some of them, the what is there, you can't really call it a church anymore. Realizing all that is arrayed against us to take from us. Therefore, we ought to take the earnest heed. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. If you had to count up your treasures this morning that God's given you, I mean, what if I asked you to write them down? Could you write some things down? There's things in my life, I mean, waymarks, where it changed everything. Keys that opened doors to understanding things. And there's just different things. Well, I've been telling you about this spiritual thing we're talking about on the midweek service here. You know, it's just, man, it's one of those things, I'm telling you. It's a key that unlocks your understanding about things so much. And I've had several like that in my life, just steps up into another level. And knew, would I give any of them up? No way. No way. Because if I give any of them up, I wouldn't have anything. That's what I treasure.
Yes, sir.
We sang a song about I have treasures unseen. Most people think that just means that cabin in the corner of glory land somewhere up there. No, that's not what it means. You got it right now in your heart. Whatever God's given you. You remember Hind's feet on high places, and you remember she had her little pouch. And every time she went to the altar and something got burnt up, she'd rake through the ashes and there would be a little jewel, stone. And she'd put it in her little bag. But at the end of the journey, when she dumped them out, yeah,
before she got there,
she didn't. The devil wanted her to throw them away, but she didn't. And when he dumped them out, when the Lord dumped them out, they were jewels. That's what I'm telling you. See, that's what I'm preaching to you this morning, and that's what the Bible's telling us here. You better hang on to what you got. And Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the reminder here this morning of this truth. Not only so much here, we're really rich. Having nothing, but we're really rich. Lord, I pray you'd help us to realize that it's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. It's better to have the things of God than tend to have the things of this world. Lord, help us to remember all that's set against us to take them away from us. And I pray you'd help us all here today to remember to guard against the evil that would rob us of the treasures you've given us. the words that you've said to us, the things we've heard of thee. Lord, love you. Thank you for this, the good message here from your word in Jesus' name. Amen.